Amen. Look with me in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter number 3. And as you're finding your place in Proverbs chapter number 3, just what a joy and privilege it is to be able to speak to you tonight from God's Word. Many of you know about our ministry, Help Ministries, but there are some folks, we have a lot of new folks here, and perhaps you don't. Help Ministries, it stands for Help Evangelize Lost People. We're a mission outreach that not exclusively, but primarily we work in third world countries. And we try to equip national pastors to reach their own people, to plant churches aggressively in their country. And as we speak right now, we have men that are actually flying in to, they'll be arriving into Raleigh tomorrow, all throughout the day from 9:30 in the morning till 9:30 tomorrow night. Do pray for Silas. His name's Ren Lai Thing. He goes by Silas. He's from Myanmar. He's been stuck in Singapore for the last day and a half. I just spoke with him before coming to church, and he is checked in for a flight to San Francisco, so hopefully he's going to get out tonight. So pray about that. Well, John Mills just got back yesterday from Pakistan, and we don't have anything going in Pakistan at the moment, but he met several men there that have been trained at church planters, and so we've got an open door there. I got a call just last week from someone working in Egypt, and so we're planning a trip there. Not right now because things are pretty hot there now, but a little bit later. But we want to try to start helping some of the national pastors that have been trained there in Egypt as well. We start missions conferences when guys come in this weekend, and my wife and I'll be traveling together to India next month, and then conferences the month of March in West Virginia, and then back to Kenya early in May. So I covet your prayers. And I want to thank the church. So many, I look at our giving statements and our giving report, and I see that our church, Calvary Baptist Church, really supports Help Ministries a great, great deal. And not only do I see the normal support that's allotted, that's been voted on, that the church just gives on a consistent and regular basis, what I always see is extra giving that no doubt somebody in this congregation, and I have no idea who that would be, the Lord knows that, but God lays upon your heart to give for some particular need. And sometimes it's our home office. Sometimes it's somebody that has a need around the world. And I just want to say thank you. I don't know who you are. I couldn't come to you personally and thank you, but I want to thank you as a church. And then for supporting us, our family, and our ministry. And thank you so much. Well, I hope you found your place in Proverbs chapter number 3. And if you're able, in reverence to the reading of the Word of God, would you stand with me, please? If you're not able, certainly keep your seat. The Lord will understand that. Proverbs chapter number 3. I am very appreciative of Pastor inviting me to speak tonight. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse number 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let me pause for a second and interject something. As I read this, I want you to look. There's three things you're going to see. We're going to read the first 10 verses. There's three things you're going to see. Number one, you're going to see something that God tells us not to do. Or you're going to see something that God tells us to do. Or you're going to see a promise from Him that He's going to do if we either do the thing that He's told us to do, or we don't do the thing that He's told us not to do. So now as we read this, will you look for that? Will you look for that with me? What we're going to see is precept and promise. Now back in verse number 1, my son, here we see, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Something not to do, something to do. Look at verse 2. This is what happens. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Now it's going to follow suit throughout the rest of this text. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. Look what happens. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. And what's He going to do? And He shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruit of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your Word. We thank you for your Spirit. We thank you for your church and the opportunity to assemble together here tonight. Now, Lord, may you teach us something from your word. May you remind us, and may the Spirit of God be our minister and speak to our hearts this evening. Lord, we pray that there's one here that's struggling in an area that will be dealt with in this text. God, that you'll just give them a spiritual uplift. There could be someone here tonight that's never been saved. I know that you can even use this message, which is geared to Christians, Lord, to bring someone to salvation. So we'd ask that you do that. We pray for our prayer list. We pray for our pastor. We do pray for our missionaries that are traveling as we speak. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. You can be seated, please. Life is full of choices. And sometimes overwhelming. The amount of choices, each has their own consequence. I've heard Pastor Broyhill say on many occasions that built into the choice is the consequence. And while we get to make the choice, we don't get to choose the consequence. But the oftentimes we don't know what the consequence is going to be if we make the choice. But here in this text, we're not left to wonder and guess what the consequences are. Because we know very well, because God lets us know, if you make this choice, here's the consequence. And it's always a good one. Now, some choices, I don't believe all choices are created equal. Some choices last for hours. Our grandson, not Atlas, but Barry, he's only 3. You know what? He loves to get a hold of somebody's cup of coffee. Now, if he gets a hold of that cup of coffee, that's a choice that he makes. If we allow him to get that we're going to deal with the effects of that choice for hours. Some last for days. I've been in some bad hotel rooms around the world, and Brother Harper, you've been there, and I thought, Lord God, if you get me out of this room, I promise I will not make this mistake again. Just get me through the next 3 days or week or whatever it is. Some choice, you ever gone somewhere and you got homesick and you're going to be there for a week? I remember when I was a kid growing up in West Virginia, we didn't do anything but go camping. We pretty much, we went to Sherwood Lake. I grew up in Greenbrier County, but I remember one year, all my dad and some of his brothers and my grandpa and mom and a bunch, we're going to go to Gatlinburg, Tennessee. Now, we'd never been to any place like that. And then we loaded up the vehicle and we headed to Gatlinburg, Tennessee. Two things happened. Number one, I got sick on the way down. And then we got there, and two of my uncles were so homesick that we drove down there one day, spent the next day, and drove home the third day. And I was still sick the whole time. So some choices last for months. Maybe like if you decide to eat a McDonald's cheeseburger. A new vehicle, you can make those payments for years. But there are some choices that you make that can last for a lifetime. As I told you, I grew up in West Virginia in a little town called Asbury. It's off of Interstate 64 on a road called Route 12. We were 12 miles north of a town called Alderson, West Virginia. That was where I went to school. That's where I went to elementary and junior high school. And I love sports. We lived so far away from the town, and my parents didn't have a lot of money in those days, or at least this is what they told me. And so I could only pick one sport. And so I chose football. I wanted to play basketball and baseball and track. And if they'd had anything else, I'd have wanted to have done that as well. But I chose football. Well, my mom and dad were working, and so they couldn't pick me up after practice. So I got a ride home with Sonny. Now, let me tell you about Sonny. Sonny drove a Datsun. Anybody remember what a Datsun? Now, that thing was old in the 80s. Sonny had made a choice. Early in life, he worked on the railroad, and he was on a flatbed railroad car, and he and a buddy were wrestling. He fell off the car, and the train ran over his arm, and it cut off his right arm. Now, he was right-handed, but so he would drive with his left hand. Now, that Datsun wasn't an automatic. It was a five-speed or a stick shift. Now, with his left hand, he would shift the gears. Now, he also was a smoker, and you would never see Sonny without a cigarette in his hand. And he also was a coffee drinker, so you would never see Sonny without a cigarette in his hand and a cup of coffee over here. And so Sonny was my ride home from football practice. Of course, it was just a two-seater, and so we would lay down in the back of the truck, and many times, it being so cold, we would put a tarp over so we wouldn't freeze to death, and that's how we would get home from football practice. Now, I got a couple questions to ask my mom and dad. What were y'all thinking? If we tried to do that today, you could never get away with it. So there's these decisions that we make. You know, there's one decision that you will make, that it's for eternity. But I want us to look tonight at choices. You know, during World War II, Winston Churchill was forced to make a painful choice. The British Secret Service had broken the Nazi code and informed Churchill that they were going to bomb this place called Coventry. He had a tough decision. If he took no action, hundreds of lives would be lost. But if he took action, then the Germans would know that they had broken the code. And so he was faced with this decision to just let it slide and let them do what they were going to do. And that's the decision that he made, because he thought, we're going to lose hundreds of lives, but we may save thousands. And a very tough choice that he had to make. But I want to let you know, we look back to our text tonight. These aren't tough choices that we're faced with. These are choices that we know very well. The English word proverb, it's made up of two Latin words, pro, instead of, and verba, words. So a proverb is a sentence that's given instead of many words. Now, let me just clue all of us in on something tonight. I'm preaching about proverbs. I'm not going to preach in proverbs, okay? So what I'm saying is, I'm going to use a lot of words. The Hebrew word translated proverb means a comparison. So it compares and contrasts, oftentimes the natural with the spiritual. And so it's catchy phrases. Someone else said this, it's life lived in a sentence. Life lived in a sentence. There's something for us to do, something that we shouldn't do, the reward of doing or not doing those things. In this, you're going to be something to be received, something to be remembered, something to be retained, and something to be regarded. Now, if we were to outline Proverbs chapter 3, look with me in your Bibles. It sometimes texts are difficult to outline, but sometimes they're very easy. The Holy Spirit does it for us. This is one of those cases where the Holy Spirit has done it for us. Look with me in verse number 1. It says, my son. Look with me in verse number 11. The second time we see it in the text, my son. Look with me now in verse number 21, the third time we will see it in the text, my son. So this is divided up into three segments, and you'll see the transition as we go through the first 10 verses. And if we were to read 11 through 20, you would see that transition. And then a similar transition back in the latter verses to kind of where we started. But I want you to notice the repetition. Also, when you're studying out a text, look for repeated words. Now, I want you to look with me in verse number 1. It says, my son, and it's going to be a lot of these. It says, forget not. You see it in verse 1. Now look in verse 3. The first two words, it says, what does it say, church? Let not. Verse number 5, trust the Lord with all thine heart. And what does it say? Lean not. Look at verse number 7. First two words, be not. Verse 11, my son, despise not. Now we go to verse number 21. My son, let not. Verse number 25, be not. Verse number 27, withhold not. Now, so verses 1, 3, 5, 7, 11, 21, 25, 27. And honestly, we get to 28, and until we got here, I found it kind of odd. But in verse number 28, we see it says, say not. And then in verse number 29, devise not. Verse 30, strive not. Verse 31, envy not. So I would invite you to go back, look at this text and this passage, and look at all the things that God's going to warn you to not do. You know, but tonight, we're not going to look at all the things that we're not supposed to do. I want to look at the things that we need to be doing. In fact, there's no negative outcomes mentioned in this passage if we make the wrong choice. Solomon's writing to his son. It's as if he doesn't even want his son to even consider the negative option. That he's going to just take the positive. He's going to do the right thing. And he's going to enjoy the reward that's within the confines of this text. So we're going to look at the first 10 verses. But tucked away in the very center, it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Tonight we're presented with a chest full of treasure, but the chest is locked. It doesn't just happen. Are you with me? These are conditional promises. There's precepts to be obeyed, and if those precepts are obeyed, then the promise is enjoyed. But I believe that there's the key that unlocks the treasure chest. And I believe that that key is found in verses 5 and 6, and that key is trust. And tonight I'd like to speak to you on this topic, on the treasure of trusting. The treasure of trusting. Now, Let's look back to our text. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Precept number one we are given here is forget not my law. Here we are trusting God for His instructions. We're trusting God for His instructions. We're told not to forget God's law and to keep God's commandments in your heart. You know, sometimes we're given a set of instructions, but we don't understand what we're supposed to do. Maybe we don't understand why we're supposed to do it. Can I tell another story of growing up with a dad that kind of, he said one thing and he expected you to do that thing that he said? I remember he had me clean the basement. I probably told a few of these stories before. I apologize if I have. He had me clean the basement. Now, nobody ever went down in the basement. There wasn't anything in the basement. It was just a dingy, dirty old basement. And I would clean the basement, but I had to clean the basement like, I don't know, a couple times a week or whatever. I can't even remember now. But certainly every week. Well, after I'd cleaned it, you know, every week for so long, I got to the point of like, well, why am I cleaning the basement? And I just really couldn't figure out a good reason for me to clean the basement. And so, you know what? I didn't clean the basement. Well, I was down there and I noticed some marks on the wall. Red marks. And I thought, I've never seen that mark before. I said, well, that's interesting. And then I was down there again and I saw another mark. And I thought, oh boy, well, yeah, I don't know what dad's counting down here or who's counting something, but, you guys are a lot smarter than I was. And many of you have already figured it out that my dad was counting down the days that I hadn't cleaned the basement. And when it got the, you know how you put the marks down, he'd put six and then he went like that. So seven made a week. And then I remember it was two of those 14 days. And could I tell you at the end of the 14 days, I figured out why I was supposed to clean the basement. Because my dad told me to clean the basement. Now there are some things that maybe God will ask you to do, not ask you to do, but tell you to do. And you're like, I don't understand why. If you only obey the things that you understand, you're going to miss out on some important truths that you should listen to. Have you ever had someone say this? My heart's not in it, or their heart's not in it. See, it says, but let thine heart keep my commandments. It's one thing to have it here. It's another thing to have it here. And God wants us to have it here. He wants our heart to be in it. For the 1 John 5:3 says, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not, what does it say, church? Grievous. You know what that means? When we get there, you know what we can say? Our heart's in it. It's not something, it's not hard for us to do. It's something that we do. In fact, we rather enjoy doing it because we know we're supposed to, and man, it pleases the Lord, it honors Him. And so the first thing we want to not forget is also we want to trust God for His instructions. Now, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? For the length of days and long life and peace. You're going to get a long life. When it says length of days and long life, it's like he's saying the same thing twice, but I don't think he's saying the same thing. You're going to get a long life. You're going to get a full life. Would you pull up the next slide for me, please? Here's the truth, the treasure to be received in verse number 2. We're going to get a long life. We're going to get a full life, and we're going to get a peaceful life. Now, for sake of time, we're going to have to hurry. Verse number 3, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Precept number 2 on the screen, please. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. We need to trust God with our reactions. We need to live a life that is displayed with mercy and truth. You know, the Bible, Brother Jones and I were talking about this before. The Bible says that the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Now, I understand this is mercy and that's grace, but boy, they're close cousins for sure. It all flows out of a grander term, and that's the love of God. So there's this thing that needs to be evident in our lives, and that's grace and truth. Now, what's going to happen? Let's look at the treasure. If we let not mercy and truth forsake us, we're going to bind them about our neck. We're going to write them on the table of our hearts. We're going to keep God's loyal love, mercy close to us. It's going to be there. Imagine if you had this necklace and you wore it. It was your favorite necklace. And if you wore it and you got compliments, wow, boy, I love that necklace. And then you just kept wearing it because every time you wore it, somebody was like, wow, man, that is wonderful. I'm telling you what, every time you wear this, you're going to be a blessing to people. And people are going to say, wow, I enjoy what you have on there. So we want to, there's a treasure to be received. We're going to find favor. We're going to find favor and good understanding, not just with God, not just with man, but both with God and man. Now let's look on verse number 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct thy paths. Trusting God for His direction. Trusting God with all of your heart. Now this is where I believe if we're not careful, we might not even realize it, but we can run into problems. I traveled last summer, to Zimbabwe. We have an orphanage there, a children's home. There's a guy named Ryan. Ryan's mom died when he was very young. And he was probably 4, 5, 6 years old. And when his mom died, his dad didn't want anything to do with him. In fact, his dad kicked him out, and Ryan was a street kid. For the longest time, he was on the streets by himself, just kind of making it until we opened up the orphanage about 5 years ago, and he was one of the first kids that came into the orphanage. And he spent his time there. He got his high school diploma, paid for his schooling, gave him everything so he would be somewhat marketable. He graduates from school and then he thinks to himself, man, I'm going to go back and I'm going to live with my dad. I won't be a burden to my dad because I can go out and work. He don't have to pay for my education. He doesn't have to do any of these things. And so he leaves. He makes the trip to go home to see his dad. And he stays with his dad for 3 weeks. And at the end of 3 weeks, his dad said, Ryan, I'm sorry. I just don't want you. He was afraid. He was too embarrassed to even let the folks know at our children's home that was the case. And they heard through the grapevine and we went back and found him and brought him back into the home. But you know what Ryan, if he's not careful, is going to have for the rest of his life? He's going to have trust issues. Because the people that he should have been able to have trusted, he couldn't. You know, there could be that there are people here tonight in this church. And as you look back over your past, there's people in your life that you should have been able to have trusted that betrayed that trust. You know, I'm amazed at what parents will do, what moms and dads will do, what teachers and husbands and wives, maybe you're a husband or a wife here tonight and you've been betrayed by a mate in the past, maybe you don't even realize it. You don't even realize what's going on inside. But here's what we tend to do. We tend to react with God sometimes based on what we've been dealt or what we've had to deal with in life. And sometimes if we've had trust issues with people here, it carries over even into our spiritual walk with the Lord. And we don't even realize it, but there's these things where we don't trust Him. Now, can I say that you could have had parents that did the wrong thing? Nobody's parents were perfect. You could have had a teacher that did the wrong thing. Or you could have had a mate that's done the wrong thing. Can I assure you of one thing? God on the throne has never, ever done the wrong thing. He will never, ever do the wrong thing. He will always have your best interest at heart, and you can trust Him no matter what it is, no matter what He says. You can trust Him. You don't have to understand it. You don't have to like it. You don't even have to want to, but I'm here to tell you, you can trust Him. And if you trust Him, guess what? Then you will have no problem obeying Him, even if you don't understand why He's telling you what to do. Because you trust what He's saying. You trust the person even when you don't understand what He's saying. Trust Him with all your heart. This word trust, If you give me the next slide, please. The word translated trust, it means to lie helpless, face down. Pictures a servant waiting for the master's command in readiness to obey. Or imagine a defeated soldier yielding himself to a conquering general and just laying down at his feet. That's the word. That's the word picture here. This is what God wants us to do, is lay down at His feet and just trust Him. Whatever He says for us to do, that's what He wants. And here's the thing. There's no safer place to be than inside God's will for your life. Has God ever asked you to do something and it didn't make sense? Does it say, trust the Lord with all thine heart? As long as it makes sense? Or does it say, trust the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding? I thought I had a water under here, but it is gone. I remember we were pastoring in West Virginia, and God called me to go with Help Ministries. This was back in 2002. Thank you. And our church was doing well. It was a little country church. It was so far up a holler that the devil didn't even know where we were at. Started doing missions conferences, and people started getting saved. And right in the middle of that, God called me to go with Help Ministries. It was in 2002. I remember my own father sitting down saying, you're out of God's will. I remember the church members saying, you're out of God's will. In fact, the only person that was with me was my wife. But she was with me because God spoke to her and told her the very same thing. And nobody understood the decision that we had made. But can I tell you, we hadn't made a decision. Honestly, for the last 22 years, Brother Randy, I haven't made any decisions. I just let God make the decision because I'm not smart enough to make the decision. What will He do? What will He do? He's going to direct your paths. Give me the next slide, please. The treasure to be received. He's going to direct your paths. You're going to always know what to do. Have you ever felt like there's so many decisions in life and you're like, I'm just not sure how to, I just don't know what to do. I mean, it's overwhelming. You ever gone to Starbucks and want to get a drink? I mean, man, I've gone there sometimes and I hear these people coming out with these orders and I'm like, man, thank God I don't work at Starbucks because I could never remember all of that. We bring our national pastors in and we take them, to a fast food restaurant and they've never been there before. And so they'll go up and they'll say, okay, first thing you got to know is what number do you want? And they're looking up there and they're like, oh wow, there's chicken now. That's number 6. Okay. You want grilled, crispy, spicy, slimy? Well, and so then they got to figure, okay, well, I'm going to take the slimy. And then, okay, do you want the white bread, wheat bread, toasted bread, sesame seed bun? Do you want cheese? What kind of cheese do you want? You want American, Swiss, provolone, Kobe Jack, pepper jack? They're looking at me like, boom. And here's what they say. Just pick what you want us to get. Now, this is probably the most important thing we're going to talk about tonight. I don't want you to miss it. I want you to get a pen and paper out. I'm going to give you a foolproof system, list, to figure out how to always make the right decision. If you'll follow all of these steps, you will always end up at the right decision. Could you put the next slide up there, please? You got a big decision? You only have to answer one question. Does God want me to do it? Do I have to understand it? No. I might understand it, I might not. Hey, His ways are higher than your ways. If you can figure Him out and understand Him, then He won't be much of a God now, will He? Does God want me to do it? Let's look quickly. We're going to run out of time. Next slide, please. Let's look at precept number 4, verse number 7. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Trusting God for our consecration. God wants you to depart from evil. He wants you to fear Him. That's the beginning of wisdom, the beginning of knowledge. Making the right choice, doing the right thing. What happens if I do this one? Well, God's going to let us know if you could pull up the next slide. There's the truth. There's the treasure to be received. It's health to thy navel, marrow to thy bones. I've read this and I'm like, Lord, what? I don't even know what this means. Since I don't know what the spiritual part of it really means, I said, well, at least I can try to figure out what the physical side. So let's look at the next slide. Without bone marrow, our bodies could not produce the white cells we need to fight infection, the red blood cells we need to carry oxygen, and the platelets we need to stop the bleeding. Now, I'm not a doctor, but I tend to think that those red blood cells and the white blood cells and the platelets are just pretty important. I guarantee you when they wrote this, they didn't have any idea what those things were because they hadn't even discovered them yet. But we now know, hey, consecration is vital to your spiritual health. It's life-giving nutrients to you as a Christian. It's oxygen. It's blood supply. Hey, it'll stop the bleeding. Let's look to the next slide. Number 5, verse number 9. This is trusting God with our possessions. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. We honor God with the first. We honor God with everything. What happens? What happens? The treasure. Here's the treasure. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. You know, sometimes, or I remember at some point in life, I read this and I thought to myself, this just really doesn't seem like it belongs in here with all these other things. If we're not careful, that's what we'll think. Can I say this? You can't be right in all of these other areas and be wrong in this area. You could be here and you're not a faithful tither, not in the biblical sense, which means you don't give 10% of the very first that you get. Now listen, will you still get blessed by God if you don't do that? You will. God's merciful. But I'm here to tell you, you can't be right in all the other areas and be wrong in this one. Now I know what you're thinking. Oh man, I'm never going to be able to do it. I'm not. If you saw my finances, okay. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding. Or maybe you're here and you're thinking about this one. Man, pastor's asking for 100 new volunteers to do some work in the church. But I feel like this inkling to want to do something, but I don't know. I don't have any talents. I don't have any abilities. Hey, wait a minute. You just have to answer one question. You just have to ask God one question. God, do you want me to do it? And if He says yes, then you're on your way. There's a store, a treasure chest full of blessings that are just waiting. God just wants you to open it up and dig your hands in and grab out the treasure that He has for you. But now there are some things that you will have to do. These are conditional promises. And trust is the key that opens the lock to the chest. I know I've shared this story before, but I'm going to share it tonight in closing. We built a new house, moved in it in 1977. I was born in 1971, so I was 6. The house on one side was one level, just one story off the ground, but the ground kind of fled away like this. And so on the other side of the house, it was 2 stories. Had a walkout basement on one side. If you look at the house from left to right, it would fall away from left to right. Well, my dad, we lived right at the edge of the woods and poplar trees and oak trees and probably some other ones, but certainly those, and in abundance right on the outskirts of our yard, and leaves would fill up the gutters. And so every year, a couple times throughout the course of the fall, my dad would say, hey, we've got to clean out the gutters. Okay. And so he would, you know, I was 6. I remember starting when I was real young. Now we had ladders, you know, in West Virginia, but for whatever reason, my dad didn't want to take the time to get the ladder. And so he would just grab me and kind of hoist me up and push me up. And I'd grab that thing and I'd throw my leg up there and I'd get up on there. And then he'd throw a bucket up there to me and I'd catch the bucket and I'd fill it up with leaves and I'd drop it down to him. He'd catch it, you know. And we'd clean all the, you know, I'd walk around all the high part and be careful on the other end, he'd say. And I could hear him hollering from the distance and we'd get him out. And then when it was time, you know, I finished, We would come back to the edge and I'd drop the bucket down and he'd be standing there like this. And he said, all right, jump down here. And I'd jump down there and he'd catch me. Well, that went on just fine for years. And he never dropped me until all of a sudden it got to the point one year that I walked out there on the edge and I probably was a, 13-year-old kid, teenager or something like that. And I had a thought, honestly, that I never had before. And I got out there and my dad's down there. And you know what thought I had? What if he drops me? Now, he's never dropped me. And I'm standing there and I'm not saying anything. Because I wasn't about to tell my dad I was scared. And dad said, what's wrong? And I didn't say anything. He said, don't you trust me? And I said, oh yeah, dad, I trust you. And this is what he said. He said, if you trust me, you'll jump. Now you're standing on the edge of something in life that maybe God's challenging you to do that you've never done before. And you're having this thought, you know what? I just don't know. I just don't know. I'm fearful. Can I say this? If you trust Him, you'll jump. If you trust Him, you will obey. If you trust Him, you will do what He says, when He says, when it makes sense, when it doesn't make sense, when everybody around you understands it, when nobody around you understands it. Will you stand with me, please? Heads bowed and eyes closed. I want to offer up a word of prayer and then turn the service over.